Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893. That is our number to call. You can also email or text at prayer@yeshome.com and let us know what your need is so we can pray for you today. Don't not get the prayer that you need for lack of asking, because you have people here who are ready to pray. It's not just me, remember. People listen, they pray along. They hear those requests, they're praying along with the radio, they're praying along with these requests. And so you can have, you know, literally thousands of people praying for you today. So take advantage of that opportunity and call in with your requests. Remember, we also keep your requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't have to worry about that. We're not here to embarrass anybody. We just want to make sure that you get the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you to pray, to lift each other up in prayer, to worship together as we pray for one another, as we encourage each other, as we bear one another's burdens, knowing that we can always bring our needs to you, that you are a good and faithful God, and gracious to us in all things. So, Lord, we pray that you will move with power and might and strength in the lives of your listeners today, that we would experience you in all your fullness and all your joy, that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us, care for us. We love you. We praise you. We give you all glory this day, Lord, and pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham last couple of weeks, just kind of working our way through his life, hitting some of the highlights, not doing everything in his life, but just he's a remarkable man of faith. And a great example in the Bible, the father of our faith. So we're going to continue on. We'll finish up this week. Probably we'll finish up before the end of the week. Yeah, we'll be done before the end of the week with Abraham. Because we are up to chapter 23 in Genesis. Chapter 23 in Genesis. As we're looking at another episode in the life of Abraham, here the death of his beloved wife, Sarah. So let's look at chapter 23, verse 1. It says, Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died in Kiriath Arba, that is in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites, and he said, I am an alien and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site so I can bury my dead. The Hittites replied to Abraham, Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead. Then Abraham rose and bowed down before the people of the land of the Hittites. And he said to them, If you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf, so he will sell me the cave of Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of the field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you. Ephron the Hittite was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. No, my lord, he said, listen to me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. Again, Abraham bowed down before the people of the land and said to Ephron in their hearing, listen to me, if you will. I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. But what is that between me and you? Bury your dead. Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, was deeded to Abraham as his property, in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. And afterward Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. So this is a story that seems to be more about buying, you know, a place to bury Sarah than it is about the death of Sarah. And it seemed kind of odd, you know. I think if we were writing this story, we would probably focus in today's terms more on Abraham's emotions and his grieving over Sarah, and all this bargaining back and forth about a burial place would you know, kind of be set aside. It seems kind of an odd thing that we have this long, why are we given this whole negotiation? Why didn't you just say, you know, hey, Abraham negotiated to buy a cave so we could bury Sarah? Instead, we get this whole negotiation between Abraham and the Hittites about where to bury Sarah. And of course, Abraham loves Sarah. You know, we know this. He was a deep love for her and obviously grieved and sorrowful over her death. And it tells about him weeping, and he mourns and weeps over her. And we can imagine the depth of his grief over this. And yet the story is not really about that. You know, we get basically, what, one, two verses? One verse really about him mourning over Sarah. And then we get, you know, 17 verses about him haggling over where to bury her and buying this field. And you would think, well, why are we getting all of this? Why are we getting this whole thing, you know, this whole negotiation? Why is this the focus of the story? Because it seems an odd focus. But there's a reason for this, a theological reason. Remember, the Bible tells us stories. Ultimately, the story of the Bible is about God. It's not necessarily about the individuals as much as it is about God and his purposes as he's working through them. Now, obviously, the people in the Bible are important. They matter to God. They matter to us. But the story of the Bible is the story of God's work of redemption. It's not a soap opera, right? As much as it seems like it sometimes, and we get these crazy stories, and especially you read through the Old Testament, all kinds of crazy stuff happens. But at the end of the day, it's not meant to be a soap opera. The story is about God's work. And that's why we get this story of Abraham negotiating for this field. You know, first of all, he goes to the Hittites. He wants a place to bury his dead. That in and of itself is significant. Remember that Abraham left his land, right? The place of his fathers. That was everything. You lived in the land of your forefathers. You were buried in the land of your forefathers. It was that whole connection to your family, to your lineage, to your heritage. These things were so important to these people. And so it would be understandable if when Sarah died, Abraham chose to take her body back to the land he had come from to bury her there so that she could rest among the forefathers. But Abraham doesn't do that. Abraham chooses to buy land in the place where he is living because this is the land God has given him. And by choosing to buy land in the place where he's giving, Abraham is declaring his unswerving commitment to the Lord's promise that Canaan was his new homeland. He had left the land of his forefathers. And he has now lived in this new land that God has given him. And this is now his land. This is now his heritage. The break is complete. Had Abraham decided to take Sarah back to the land he came from and bury her there with the rest of his relatives, which would have been customary, he would have indicated that his heart still belonged in those places. Instead, what he shows here is his heart is where God has placed him. And he will be buried, and his wife will be buried, and his family will be buried in this cave that he buys, and his new homeland that God has given him. He has a new heritage, a new home. He has left the old behind, and he has embraced the new that God has brought. I think of what Paul says in Philippians, you know, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to win the goal that's set before me in Christ Jesus. That's really where Abraham's at. And we get this whole story and this whole negotiation. By the way, he gets ripped off in the negotiation. You know, it sounds like Ephron the Hittite, you know, initially says, oh, no, I don't want any money from you, Abraham. You're a prince among us, a great man. You just take the field. You just take the field. I give it to you in the presence of all my people. That Abraham's like, no, I'm not taking anything. I will buy it. I will purchase it. So there's no doubt that this field is mine. What do you want? What's a fair price? And Ephraim says, well, the land's worth 400 shekels. But what is that between us? First of all, the land's not worth 400 shekels. That was an exorbitant price for a field and a cave. He's obviously preying on Abraham's grief and trying to make a profit off of it. So Ephron's not exactly Mr. Upright. But Abraham at this point doesn't care, right? Because he's investing in the place that God has placed him. This is a kingdom investment for Abraham. What's 400 shekels to him between him and God? He's placing himself in the place God has put him. And what is 400 shekels? It doesn't matter to him. So he doesn't even haggle over the price. He said, fine, give it to you. Give me the field. Because Abraham's heart is here. Abraham has shown, in this moment, he's shown he is fully invested in the future that God has given him. He has left the old behind. He has embraced the new. He's living the life God has given him. You know, throughout the Bible, we're told, you know, that Jesus says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's told throughout Scripture, you know, Lot's wife looks back at Sodom, turns into a pillar of salt. This idea of looking back to our old life, our old ways before God, before Christ came into our lives. You know, the Bible tells us that's what we're doing. We're not fit for the kingdom. Once you enter the kingdom, you're in all the way. We're all in, or we're not in at all. There's no looking back. We need to leave the past behind. We need to leave behind what has gone before us. It's time to move ahead in Christ. We need to make a complete break with that old life so that we can walk in the new life that God has given us. And Abraham shows he has done that. This is his home. This is the land God gives him. This is where he's invested. He's not going back. He will be buried here. From now on, this is his land and his home. because this is the place God has placed him. God calls us to have the same attitude. We need to leave the past behind so we can move forward in God's plan for us. Not looking back, but only looking ahead, straining toward what is ahead to win the goal, toward the goal that God is calling us to in Christ Jesus. So stop looking behind, strain toward what is ahead, move forward in Christ. It's what's ahead of us that matters, and that's where we need to be moving. We'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. On the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Got a number of requests in. This one came in, this one actually came in Friday, right after the show, so we want to pray for this. A listener asking, pray for my husband and I, that our love for God grows, our financial situation evaporates, and our school age children grow with us. Lord, we do pray for this family and this marriage. We do pray that as this husband and wife grow together, that they would grow in their love for you. And as they grow to love you more and center and focus themselves on you more, you will bless that marriage, and that marriage will be blessed. And they'll grow closer together as they grow closer to you. We do pray for their financial situation and pray, Lord, that for your provision for those needs that are there for them. And Lord, whether they're debts they have to pay off or just finances they need to accomplish things, Lord, we pray that you will provide for that and help them through that time. And pray for their children, that they too would grow in you. As their mom and dad are seeking after you, that their children grow in knowledge of you as well. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So here we go. Here's the next one coming in. Sorry, I'm just making sure I'm catching everybody. And someone said, I'd like to lift up the 12 men who went through the Emmaus Walk spiritual retreat this weekend. Prayers that the enthusiasm and love from God that they have felt this past weekend stays with them in the days and months ahead, and that they are able to find new ways to serve God that uses the spiritual gifts they each have. Lord, we do pray for these 12 men who went through the Emmaus Walk. And Lord, as you spoke to them and worked in their lives this weekend, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the work that you've already done in them, the ways you've helped them and strengthened them, encouraged them. Lord, we pray that that momentum that they feel now will continue to grow. Lord, that they will continue to grow as you brought fresh revelation to them, drew them closer to you, Lord, that they would grow in this, mature in this, strengthen themselves in this, that you would continue to lead them and help them. Lord, that they would fully embrace their walk with you. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless their work and continue to bless the work you're doing in them as they grow in maturity and in faith with you. And we pray this in your name. This has been the Prayer Closet. If you have a prayer request, remember you can always get that to us at prayer@yeshome.com. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. And somebody here will be happy to pray with you. And if you ever need to talk to someone, well, you can always get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com, and click on the chat now button. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.